理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 14. Steel buildings rose and fell, making way for the more modest structures of our time. Soon the laboratory walls built up again around me. I saw my house cleaner, Mrs. Watchett, again enter the room, but this time walking backwards. Then I stopped the machine and found myself once more in the laboratory among my tools and glass containers. For several minutes I did not move from my seat, so overwhelmed was I with all that I had just seen and experienced. A sadness had grown in me, for I now knew the terrible fate of mankind. I knew what a lonely place the world would once again become. And, of course, I missed Weena. I got out of the machine and, still quite unclear in my brain, began to wander around the laboratory. I thought of how that room of windows would some day replace my home, and how the Birdman statue would then be built right where the door from my laboratory to the hallway is. I looked out my window and imagined the sea one day replacing all of the surrounding buildings. I looked at the people walking about the streets and struggled with the idea that they would one day be reduced to the pitiful beings that were the Eloi and Morlocks. I then felt an overpowering sense of helplessness and began to cry. After several minutes, I regained my composure and walked painfully to the hallway, for my feet were still in horrible condition. On one of the tables, just outside the dining room, I saw a newspaper with today's date on it, and behind me ticked the clock on the wall, which read 8:10. Then I could hear your voices and the sounds of forks and plates. I was not sure if I was ready to face you all. I was feeling very tired and ill, but then I smelled meat and had to enter the room to see it with my own eyes. And everything else after that moment, you know yourselves.
Believe me, I know how crazy all of this sounds, the scientist continued. I am surprised to be here in this room telling you such strange stories, but upon my word, they are absolutely true.
Looking at the doctor, the scientist laughed a little to himself, saying,
Of course, you won't believe a word of it. Well, fine. Go ahead and assume that I've just told you a story. And so, tell me, what did you think of my story?
The doctor, feeling a little nervous about having to express the first opinion of the group, emptied his pipe into a dish on the table next to him, and seemed to be thinking about the best way to answer the scientist. Throughout this moment of silence, the sound of people moving uncomfortably about in their chairs could be heard. I looked around at the other men in the room to try and guess what they were thinking about. The editor was trying to look unimpressed, sitting back in his chair with his legs crossed. The journalist was not doing as good a job at this, however, for he could not seem to sit still as he tried out many different sitting positions. Everyone else seemed to be waiting for the doctor's response. The editor then broke the silence by getting to his feet and saying,
Well, for my part, I would recommend that you hang up your lab coat and seriously consider a career in story writing.
Placing his hand on the scientist's shoulder,
You certainly had my attention from beginning to end.
So, you doubt the truth of it?
Well, you must understand.
Of course, you doubt it. Then, turning to the others, the scientist asked, Does anyone have a match? Puffing away at a pipe he had just stuffed full of tobacco, he relaxed further into his chair.
I don't know. Maybe it was all just a dream of some kind. But somehow I can't. At this moment, he was looking down at his poor feet and shaking his head. The doctor then walked over to the table where the flowers from the scientist's pocket lay. He looked at them closely. "I can't say that I recognize this particular kind of flower." "Good Lord!" cried the journalist. "Look at the time. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning. My wife will kill me." "Which way are you going?" asked the psychologist. "Maybe we can share a cab." "Excuse me, but may I take these flowers with me?" asked the doctor. "I would like to take a closer look at them." "I'm sorry, but you may not," answered the scientist. "Well, at least tell me where you found them." At this, the scientist's eyes became a little teary. He looked down for a moment and ran his right arm across his face. "I told you before, Weena put them into my pocket." He seemed to be struggling with the memory. "I don't know. Am I lying to myself? Is there really any time machine? I must go and see." He then jumped from his chair and ran out into the hallway, down to where his laboratory stood. We all followed close behind. The machine was indeed there. I noticed on the bottom some mud and grass stuck to the metal. Parts of the machine's exterior seemed to be slightly damaged. The scientist, feeling the damaged area of the machine, smiled and, as if relieved, said, "Ah, yes, it is true after all." Then, turning back to us, "Gentlemen, I am grateful for your time this evening. Now, if you will excuse me, I must be getting to bed." He took us back out into the hall and helped us with our coats. "You really ought to consider taking a break from your work," suggested the doctor. "A few weeks might do you some good." This caused the scientist to laugh quite loudly, and he was still laughing as we all pulled away from his home in our different cabs. Of course, everyone there had no doubt that what we had been told that night was a complete lie. I, however, could not make up my mind about it. Even though the story itself was unbelievable, the way that it had been told by the scientist, full of what seemed to be real emotion and excitement, impressed me greatly. That whole night, I lay in bed without sleeping. I decided the following day to pay him a second visit. When I arrived at his home, I was told that he could be found in his laboratory. However, when I entered, he was not there. I did see the time machine, though, in its corner, and I examined it very closely. Under my hand, it seemed almost too easy to break. A few minutes later, I returned to the hallway, where I then ran into the scientist, who seemed to be busy making preparations of some sort. In his hands, he carried a camera and a travel bag. He smiled at me, appearing happy that I had come by. "I'm sorry, I'm so terribly busy." "So, all of this is really true? You really can travel through time?" "Absolutely." The smile left his face for just a moment when he said this. Then, as if awakening from some other thought, he checked the contents of his bag. "I'm very thankful that you came back to see me today. I would be happy to sit down to tea with you and chat, if you will just give me a half hour or so to do a bit of work." "Of course. Please don't let me stop you. I'll just wait in here and read the paper." And with that, he left the room. Sitting myself down in what I thought looked like the most comfortable chair, I began to look through that morning's paper. I wondered what he could possibly do in only 30 minutes' time. Then, catching sight of an advertisement in the paper, I suddenly remembered that I had a business appointment in little over an hour. I knew that I would have to leave immediately if I were to arrive there on time. Setting down the paper, I quickly walked down the hall to the laboratory. Upon entering, I was hit with a gust of wind, and rounding the doorway, I thought that I had caught a glimpse of what seemed to be a ghost-like figure which disappeared just seconds later. Thinking that my eyes were playing games with me, I rubbed them and looked once again. The scientist was nowhere to be seen, and the time machine was gone as well. Just then the door to the garden, the only other entrance into the laboratory, opened, and in came the housekeeper, Mr. Wright. I asked him if he had seen the scientist come through the garden. He said that he had not, and that he had come looking for the scientist as well, assuming he would be in his workroom. And at that moment, I understood what had happened. I decided not to show for my business appointment and waited in the smoking room for the scientist to return from his travels with what I hoped would be more exciting adventures to share. However, that was 3 years ago. No one has seen him since.